You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Just recently, the show The Good Place wrapped up its fourth and final season. For those that haven't seen the show or are waiting to watch the finale, I apologize. I'm going to spoil the ending. Put your fingers in your ears and go la la la. The show centered around characters who died and thought upon their death that they were going to the good place, heaven. But it doesn't take long in the first season to realize they're actually in the bad place, hell. I'll save the whole discussion of the reality of heaven and hell and the mishmash of religions and philosophies represented by the show for a whole nother sermon, because it's way too big. But the characters spend eternities trying to change their lot, trying to improve their lives, and eventually end up in the real good place. However, with everything they ever wanted, they grow bored. Unsure of what to do or where to go, with hell being no place to stay and heaven neither, they realize that their only choice is non-existence. They create a door that scatters their soul to earth. And in little pinpoints of light, they travel. The show's final scene starts with one little light as it rests upon someone on earth, and that light changes the course of their life. We can get into long discussions about heaven and hell, but the light that we scatter to the earth is so very important. While The Good Place deals primarily with death, it's our living that sheds light to the earth. For Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world." We are the salt. We are the light. We're not supposed to be salt. We're not encouraged to become salt or promised that if we become salt, that God will love us more. The language Jesus uses is 100% descriptive. It's a statement of who we are. It's a statement of our identity. We are the salt. We are the light. We are that which will either enhance or embitter, soothe or irritate, melt or sting, preserve or ruin. Our very existence can be both a burden or a blessing. Too often people look at this passage as permission granting. I think of Christians that go out of their way to be a burden. In the pursuit of evangelism, they stand on street corners, they protest at parades, they shine their light like a city on a hill that stands in judgment of others, rather than the protection, like a lighthouse. Instead of offering a harshness of faith, they could choose to reveal their love in powerful ways. I think of those who are salty with one another. There's a reason why that's become a descriptor. We can all think of one person who's been described as salty. It might be us, who put on a lovely demeanor at church and then yell at the waitress in their post-church brunch because the food came a little too slowly or it was a little undersalted. I think of those who wear their saltiness like a badge of honor, who read this scripture as justification for bad behavior. We are the salt. We are the light. Our very identity will be too much for some people. But hiding it away, hiding away our light under the bushel, is not our solution. This is one of my biggest fears going forward as we move further down the line. As churches decline, as service groups disappear, we are hiding away our light. But look around the room. There's a certain age of people here. There's a certain minority of ages here. We're shifting as a culture away from community gatherings, Lions groups, optimists, Rotary, Canets. All of those organizations in the next 20 years, 10, might not exist. And that's okay, as long as something takes its place. Because the role of these service groups, the roles of churches, are to bring light and to connect people to one another. I'll tell you, I had a heck of a time doing that experiment at home. I worked on it 4 times last night, and it didn't work. You know why it didn't work? Because the charge I had of one alone wasn't enough to power the light. I put my multimeter on it. I couldn't get it to power the light that I had. It was only when I got here this morning and prayed a whole heck of a ton and connected it to one jar to the next that the light actually lit. I wanted the sermon to be, "You can be the light." God's got a funny sense of humor. As churches decline, as service groups decline, we're hiding away more and more. More than ever, we're choosing to retreat into our homes because dealing with others is just too much darn work. We're stressed and we're worn out so that any human interaction that isn't through the filter of social media just pushes us over the edge. I don't have any magic words to fix it. Maybe we just need to take each other with a grain of salt. If we are the salt and we are the light, then part of our role is identifying what we bring to the earth. We need to practice a healthy self-awareness of who we are and whose we are and who we are created to be in connection with one another. Enable that we might bring something to the earth. Because without salt and without light, the world would be a dreary place. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is encouraging his followers to do one thing. Show up. Show up and be who you are. In the background, he's asking those questions, where can you enhance life? Where can you shine your light? Where can you scatter some good into the world? But he's doing that by just declaring that you're the light, you're the salt. You don't have to go home and study. You don't have to go and work hard. Just be you. In the places where community is found, in the places where those connections are so vitally important. This week, word went round about Fred Arsenault, the World War II veteran who is turning 100 in a couple weeks, I think. And like other social media campaigns, asked to be inundated with 100 birthday cards. He's a veteran from Toronto. Several leaders have already committed their support. Us two of the church have sent, a few people have sent cards, and I think we sent a prayer shawl as well. And they may seem like insignificant things, but he will certainly know that he's not alone. There's a campaign as well called the Have a Heart campaign. It's in connection with Valentine's Day, which is coming up. And it invited people to send Valentine's cards and connections of thoughts and love for First Nations youth, who often experience deep despair and depression and loneliness. This week, First Nations were all in the news for the BC tribe that was protesting the growth and the expansion of a pipeline. I can't imagine the fortitude and the strength to stand up to RCMP. I can't imagine the choosing of sides because I don't know who's right in that situation. But I also can't imagine growing up as a youth, because it's often the kids who are caught in the middle. The Have a Heart campaign was no different than the campaign at Christmas time to send Christmas cards to those in the military. It's to remind people that we're connected to one another. Our stories touch one another. Our hearts touch one another. If we are the salt and we are the light, our very identity will be too much for some people. As the world continues to secularize, in response, we can't hide our light away. We can't disguise the unique flavor we bring. We can't decide, well, our friends aren't going to church, so we can't. We need to work even harder to show up, to say why we believe in an open and welcoming and loving way, not in an assault. I need a drum. Yeah! Because there's a way to do it. My chemistry teacher was the way I kept and stayed in church. He sang in the folk group. He led our choir both at school. He dragged the choir, not checking if everybody was Christian, to our home congregation to make sure the choir sang at events. He had an evangelism about him that was oh so subtle. Like a perfectly salted soup where all the flavors are balanced. He was the same person at school as he was in the church. When we do it right, we just have to be ourselves. We just have to bring the light and the saltiness that is uniquely ours. Because that alone will change the earth. Many of you know that February is Black History Month. And it's common to lift up stories of those of African descent or those of the black community that have changed this world for the better just by being the people that they were created to be. One of those often quoted is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who gave his life in support of racial justice and equality. We still have so much, so far to go. As black youth are still the most profiled individuals in incarcerations, rival that of whites and First Nations, there's so much to be done. But King had powerful words in terms of light. King believed that in response we are to shed light into the dark places, for darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. We cannot hope for any change in our world by staying home. We cannot hope for any change by hiding away our light. We cannot hope for any change by hiding who we are. We are the salt. We are the light. And we live into our calling by sharing our lives together. Thanks be to God. Amen.